us would go and see what she wanted. I got a feeling that's what's going to happen. God's going to say, you boys, and all of them going to jump up and come running, because they're going to hear the urgency in his voice. He's going to call them, and they're going to come, because he have promised them that they would be safe in the city. All the true remnant, all the true believers are going to come. Listen, it's the same way in the church today. You can have a session, and those people are sometimes that are not real believers, if it's something that's exciting, they might want to come. They might show up just to see who's there. But you have a Wednesday night or a Thursday morning, and they all off from work, and you see who come. The real ones will show up. If it's raining like it was today, there would have been days that I wouldn't have showed up. But today, you can't keep me away. If it's raining, I'm coming. If it's sunshining, I'm coming. Even if it's snowing, I'm coming, because the clarion call have gone out. I heard God called me, and he said, you boy. And I got up and I come running, because he had called me before and I hadn't answered. He had called me by my name and I hadn't answered. But when he called that time, there was an urgency in his voice. You got to go. You know it. You can hear it. When mama call you, and she call you, and sometime she said, boy, and if you had a middle name, she'd call you by all your name. And you know you better get up and go. That's the way God is. He calls you sometime, and you don't want to hear him. But when there's an urgency in his voice, you will hear and you will answer God. When he calls you, God will take care of all your enemies. You won't have to worry about them. Sometimes he have to call you like that because you're looking at and you listen to your enemies that you got around you, and you're more afraid of them than you are answering to God. But let me help you out. They can't be with you at late at night, at 12 o'clock in the night, when your body is right with pain and you don't know where to go. You take a pain pill, but the pain pill won't help. But you remember what Meemaw told you. She said, get on your knees and talk to God, and you fall down by the bedside. God, I don't know what Meemaw told you, but God, the same God, stop by and see about me. God will restore you. Listen to me. God will restore you to the place where he can get the glory out of restoring you. If you could do it by yourself, you wouldn't need God. But you can't do it. You and I, we need God in our life. He can restore us to a place where nobody can remove us from. But you got to let him. You have to want him to restore you. If you want him to restore you, it's a done deal, because his word says it. He says in those last two verses, verses 7 and 8, I'll bring him from the east and from the west. That's just letting you know he's going to go everywhere. East and west, if he goes east and west, he can go north and south. He can go any direction that he want to go. And he will bring his children to him. The farther you get in sin, the more you need God. And when I get in sin, sin will make us think that we are all right. Sin will always tell you you have time. Time is not in sin's hand. Time is in the hands of God. Sin, the devil does not control time. God does. Your time To come is when God calls you and you hear him. He might call you when you least expect him to. When you are at your busiest moment, you think. You know that you can't, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing, but it's good to you. Sin is a good thing as long as you're in sin. But when you get out of sin, you want out of sin, it's not good to you. If you still like your sin, it will get you again. And I didn't stutter when I said that. If you like your sin will get you again. You have to learn to hate your sin. If you hate your sin, you won't go back. You won't go back to your, if you hate it. But now, the more, if it had your lock, stock, and barrel, the sin will appear to be good to you, attractive to you, and it will draw you. But you have to resist it. Don't fight it, just resist it. I'm glad you asked, I heard you. Jesus. Just call the name of Jesus, and everything will be all right. I've told this before, and I tell it again because it's the truth that it happened to me. I one time, y'all might not think, I had a real job. And I was assistant principal at Crestview High School, and we had a fight. 6 or 7, 8 or 9, 10 boys, my friends, were fighting. Half of them black and half of them white. They in a fight. I go down there and start pulling them off, throwing them out. And all the other people were standing around. I was in the middle of the fight, grabbing them by the nape of the neck and throwing them out. The two that was on the bottom, I've forgotten who it is, who they are, but I'm glad I have because I can't remember the name. They were on the bottom and they were just fighting. And the one on the bottom looked up and saw me. He said, "Man, you better quit." So that B. He said, "Who?" He said, "B." He said, "Oh, okay." And I got those two and walked them to my office. I had every office in the high school complex with one guy in it. I went in my office, turned my back to the wall, and I just recited the model prayer. When I walked out of there, I walked in the first door, I opened it. I said, "You got 10 days. He said, "Okay." I walked in the next one, "You got 10 days. Walked in the next one, "You got 10 days. I did them all like that. "You got 10 days. They said, "Okay." They said, "B, are we going to be able to come back without 10 days? I said, "No, let's just count off and say so." I said, "You got 10 days. Got a whole lot of flack. But those same guys that I sent home for 10 days, when they see me now, and if I know one or two of them's name, and I'm not going to call them because a lot of you will recognize them. But they said, "You did me more good." And they, most of them stayed out 8 days. But my point in saying this is if you're walking with God, you'll get to places where you don't understand why you are where you are. But if you're trusting in him, he will put you at a right place. And you'll catch flack because you do what's right. I caught it. Because I sent all of them. Half of them was black and half of them was white. I sent them all home for 10 days. My point in saying that is if you're walking with God, you will do stuff and you won't know why. And to me now, I was working in the church and doing what I should be doing, teaching Sunday school and on trustee board and all that. But as I look back at me, no, I wasn't straight. I wasn't straight because I was young and knew it, walking with God. But when you're walking with him and you don't know what else to do and you're just trusting in him, he won't lead you wrong. Because if you know everything, you don't need God. And that's what's wrong with a lot of us. We know everything. We know everything that there is to know. You better go back to they used to call them first graders, but in old days they call them primers. Go back to primer school, first and second grade. in this book and study this book as a beginner and let God lead you and bring you up through it. And he'll teach you and he will restore you. That's what he was promising the people, the exile. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you. I'm going to get you back to where you're going to trust him. And to restore mean that you have been there before. God was going to restore. They had a right relationship with God before, but they had sinned and rebelled and walked away from him. Is there anybody in here that haven't sinned and walked away from God? Yeah. So he will restore us. He's constantly, we should be constantly in a restored state. Excuse my mess. Excuse my mess. I'm under repair. Because God is constantly repairing us if we will allow him to. He won't force you. But you have to let him repair you. And when you let him, he will repair you. My last point, point number five. I'm going to try to get y'all out of here by 2 o'clock. The Lord will restore his relationship with his people. This promise of God in verse 8 deeply touches the heart of those people that love God and that are trying to get a right relationship with him. I will be your God and you will be my people. He called them his. The Lord was going to completely reclaim his people. He's going to truly take those that truly trust in him. He's going to restore the relationship he once had with them. And the reason that the relationship was broken was not because of God. It was because of them. The relationship between me and God is not, if it's broken, it's not because God broke the relationship. I broke the relationship. I messed it up. So I need to come back. And he's willing to take you back. But you got to come back. You got to be willing. The ultimate objective of the promises that God making in these verses is to knit back the relationship that he had with the children of Israel before they sinned, before they walked away from him. God did not walk away from them. They were his people, and he longed to love and bless them and to be loved and glorified by them. God wants us to love him. And so he can receive the glory. If we love him and knit the relationship back, then he's going to bless us. All he wants to do is shower us with his blessing. He wants us to love him so he can love us back. He loves you. The point is, the question that I ask myself is do I love him? And we need to ask ourselves that question, because it's a known fact that he loves us. Because he is love. He's nothing else but love. God is love. And he will love us no matter what we do. When you did not love God at all, he yet loved you. If he would not have loved us while we were sinners, Christ would not have died on the cross. Christ died on the cross while we were yet sinners. And that's all that he can do, is knit the relationship back. But you have to want it yourself. You have to want to love God. He will not force you to love him, but he freely gives his love, and he will accept yours, and he will not remind you of your sin. Everybody else might, but God won't. God will not remind you of your sin. But if you allow him to come into your life, he will do you like he did Paul. Paul, every now and then, remembered the sinner that he used to be. But when he remembered how he used to be, it was an opportunity to witness to someone else about the saving grace of this God that we serve. when you're talking about yourself, don't glorify your sin. You have to learn, as we said earlier, to hate your sin. If you like your sin, you'll glorify. I was the worst gambler that there is. No, don't brag about it. Hang your head in shame. Don't glorify your sin. Glorify God. And God will get the glory. Brothers and sisters, the gist of the message today is that God wants to restore you. None of us are a complete job yet because we are still alive. We're still alive. When you get completely restored to God, you will be in the spirit. You will not be walking around here or on earth with the rest of us fleshly people. You will be glorified in heaven. When you get your glorified body, that's the day that we're looking for. And in my conclusion, God created us for the purpose of fellowship with Him. This is an amazing truth. The true and living God, Lord of all the earth, the sovereign Lord that looked out at nothing and said, "Let there be," wants to have a relationship with you. No matter what your sin may be, how sinful you may think you are, this God that wants a relationship with you can and will and is willing and is able to forgive you of all your sin. But you have to surrender them to Him. And if you worry about what the rest of us think about you, you won't get there. You need to make sure what we think about you is not true. And that's between you and God. It's between me and God. If everybody in this earth fall in love with you, you need to check yourself. You need to make sure everything is right between you and God. And if it gets right between you and God, those others that are on God's side will see you as right. Doesn't mean we have to walk hand in hand all the time. We may go down different paths. But where we need to meet up at the same place in the end. God is a faithful God. And He is a true God. And He wants to restore each one of us back in fellowship with Him. I'm through. I didn't have a story, but I got one now. Deacon Jernigan and Deacon Brunson, y'all slide this table out for me a minute, please. I'm not going to be long. But I need to tell you this. In order for God to restore this relationship to us, with us, give me your mind, if you will, right now, please. Control of it and think like I'm thinking. In the boardroom of heaven, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and Adam was in the boardroom of heaven. They were sitting around the table. God's at the head, the Son's over there, the Holy Spirit's here, and Adam is here.
Come on now, say it.
At Adam's seat, the chair was turned up on the table. He was not there. They were sitting around the table having a discussion about the absent part of the four, Adam. He was not there. He was not there because sin had entered in, and he was not there. He could not sit around the table of God because sin was in his life. As they were talking, the conversation came up about Adam and why he was not there. Said he had sinned and he had done something God had told him not to do, and he had sinned. God the Father spoke, and then the Holy Spirit spoke. Then when it come time for Jesus to speak, he said, "It's okay." And all of a sudden, Adam appeared back at the table. In that length of time that it took for God to speak and for the Holy Spirit to speak and for Jesus to speak, he had been to earth, had been crucified, had been resurrected, and was back before it was time for him to speak in behalf of man. When he spoke and said, "It's okay," Adam appeared at the table. Why did Adam appear at the table? Because Christ had died for his sin. I know that seems like a lot of time to you, awful fast. But with God, 1,000 years is as a day. God wanted us around the table. It's why he allowed Christ to go. Now, and in telling you that, I don't want you to think that God didn't know that he was going to go. Because he's God. He's God. He's God. But my point in telling you that is to let you know that God wanted us around the table of discussion. That's why Christ went and died for your sin and for mine. And with that, we'll extend an invitation. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you stand, and if you don't know him, this is your time. This is your time to come to Christ. Whatever your sin is, Christ will forgive you of it. He'll forgive you. He'll wash it clean, and he won't bring it up to you again. But you have to come to him and ask for forgiveness of your sin. All the believers that are in here today have been in that same place where Christ had to forgive us of our sin, because we were wretches undone. And Christ will forgive you. He wants to forgive you. That's why he went to earth to die for us. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today just as you are? Don't try to change anything. Just come. I tell to you is to come. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you. Yourself decent and in order as we prepare to do this ordinance that he would like for us to do. And in being truthful to him, I must tell you that the physical part of this ordinance will not save you. Physically taking this communion will not save you. You must surrender your life to Christ Jesus. And I say that because at one time there was a teaching that you could take this and do anything you wanted to the next week. You can't do it. It doesn't mean anything if you do it. It have to mean something to you as a person. You have surrendered your life and your walk to God. And that's what this means, brothers and sisters. Will you bow with us in prayer? Father, we come now, we come and say thank you. Thank you for blessing us to see this 11th first Sunday of this year, 2015, where we are going to partake of the communion in remembrance of your death, burial, and resurrection. And in being obedient to your word, it says, do this in remembrance of me. And we remember you when we do this. God, but our prayer is that when we leave this place, we will live this communion in our lives with our brothers and our sisters that we meet in the world. Bless the hands that prepared it. Bless the hands that will serve it. Bless the hands that will receive it, and may we all live a life that will be pleasing to you. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord, we pray. Amen.